Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. I'm your host, Calvin Powers. This week on DeveloperWorks, we're going to take a look at the relationship between development and system operations. But first, let's look at some of the other new items on DeveloperWorks this week.
Benny Halberstadt and Nancy Navarro have produced a how-to guide for using the IBM InfoSphere Business Glossary REST API to find terms, examine the terms details, and contact the term steward. Their example code shows you how to develop an Android application to call the REST APIs and invoke the phone's native phone and email applications to contact the data stewards found in the Business Glossary. You'll learn a lot about the InfoSphere Business Glossary, REST programming, and Android application development all in this single article. Matthew Haydom, Ethan Burns, and Wheeler Rummel have published a tutorial on DeveloperWorks to show you how to implement the most widely used heuristic search algorithm in Java. Their step-by-step article shows you how to improve the performance of heuristic searches by avoiding expensive garbage collection and exploiting a high-performance alternative to the Java Collections framework. If you want to incorporate this fundamental artificial intelligence search algorithm in your applications, this tutorial will help you get started with sample code that's available for download. Derek Chovanec has published a new training video for IBM Security AppScan Source Edition. This video will show you how to configure the tool to scan application source code, how to use the integrated tools to build a report on its findings, and how to conduct triage on the findings. Also in this video, Tom Mulvihill shows you how to hunt down vulnerabilities in Android applications.
Don't forget that you can get links to all of those articles at ibm.com/developerworks/this week. My guest this week on DeveloperWorks is Kyle Brown. He's an IBM Distinguished Engineer, and he's going to talk to us about one of IBM's tools in the DevOps arena. It's called IBM Pure Application Systems, and it's revolutionizing the relationship between development teams and systems operations. Kyle, welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. Tell us a little bit about what you do for IBM.
Sure. I'm the services lead for Pure Application Systems. What I've been doing for the last 2 years is I've been helping develop our services team, develop the engagement models that we use around Pure Application System, and help develop the best practices around how customers can best adopt this new product.
IBM Pure Application System is built around the concept of pattern-based deployment. Tell us about that and the advantages it has for IT organizations.
Absolutely. What patterns provide you is they provide you with a reusable way to have your installations of all the various middleware parts and pieces that comprise an overall solution be put together into a single installable solution that you can make happen multiple times. So let's consider a common problem that we're going to have when we're building a big system. You may have to be able to build a system not just once, but 3 or 4 times. You know, imagine that what we're doing is we're building a system that consists of, let's say, a portal and an enterprise services bus and a bunch of databases. You don't just build that system once. You build it once for your development environment, and you build it another time for each of the different test environments that you have. And then you may have to build it multiple times for production, especially if you're building it for a multi-site production environment that has some sort of high availability or disaster recovery. Well, every time you build that in a traditional environment, you have the possibility of introducing error just because you may forget to do a step or you may do a configuration slightly differently, and that's going to make your code work differently in each of those different environments and introduce bugs. The power of patterns is that patterns capture all of this in an automated way so that when you create your pattern, you're defining the way that the installation and configuration of that particular system, no matter how complex, is going to work in all your environments. You know it's going to be exactly the same because it's the same virtual images that keep getting instantiated again and again and again in the same scripts. They keep running to configure those virtual images, so you can be guaranteed that what you're running your code on in development is exactly what you run it on in test, which is exactly what you're going to be running on in production. with no differences and no changes.
You've recently published an article on DeveloperWorks called Best Practices for Patterns Adoption in IBM Pure Application Systems, and you talk about two types of assets. Run us through those two types of assets and why they are important.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy. Actually, the two types of assets that we describe are, essentially we call them shared assets and transient assets, all right? It's interesting to kind of note the different cases when you're going to be getting these. A shared asset is something that's going to be used by multiple groups, possibly for multiple purposes. Remember how I talked about the pattern that we were just discussing of how, you know, I have this complex portal plus ESB plus multiple databases thing that I'm building, and I'm going to be using it in lots of different environments. Well, there are lots of different groups that are going to be using those individual environments. My testing team will be working in one or more of my testing environments, my operations team will be working on my production environment, and then my development team will be working on my development environment, right? So a shared asset is one that's going to be used by all of these different teams. So the pattern itself is a shared asset. But each of these different environments that I create, you know, like my particular development environment that I'm using, or the particular unit testing environment that I and my colleague are using when we're doing our joint unit tests, that's a transient asset, because that's only in use for one particular group for one particular purpose. And what's more, the value of this in Pure Application System is that this is all built out of reusable, disposable components. You see, since it's all essentially just built out of virtual images that are running on a hypervisor infrastructure, it means that since I can recreate the thing very easily, there's nothing to stop me from simply throwing it away when I'm done with it, because I know it can be recreated whenever I need it exactly the way it was. And that gives you a lot of power. It means, for instance, that it makes it possible for you to do upgrades much more simply, because you know you don't have to go back and upgrade all those other environments and test and dev and all those earlier things, because you can just throw away the old environment and then have your teams pick up the new environment and reinstall their code on it.
Kyle, walk us through some of the practices that you cover in your article.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So one of the simplest ones I've already begun to talk about, which is just this notion of being prepared to throw it away. Consider your pattern instances themselves to be transient assets that aren't going to live and aren't going to have a long lifetime over, let's say, a number of months. Okay? Now, where this really starts to have an effect is actually in your production environment. It's not so much of a stretch for most teams to consider the thought that they might throw their test environments or their development environments away, but where this really comes into play is when you consider the impact that this has on the way you do production. Well, let's think about when most disruptions come up in production environments. It happens when something changes. That's when you're going to install a new version of middleware, or when you're going to make a change to your code, or, you know, when you're going to make a change to a database schema. What if what you could do is create two side-by-side environments, the old one and the new one, and then selectively route traffic between them to test out your new environment before your old environment ever changes? Well, that kind of A-B testing is exactly what we're suggesting with our best practice of being able to prepare to throw one away. Because what you can do is you can just keep them running side-by-side until you're guaranteed that the new one is actually going to serve the needs of the purposes that you created it for. Now, we've got some other ones, too, in there that kind of follow on from other things like that that are interesting. This whole notion of being able to have these reusable patterns means there has to be a team that's responsible for creating these patterns. One of the things that you want to achieve reuse is you don't want to have everybody and their brother creating their own patterns that are all just slight variations on the same theme. You're never going to get any reuse out of it that way. So one of the best practices we have is this notion of centralizing your content creation, having a single team that's responsible for creating the patterns and the script packages that make up your solutions so that you're going to get reuse across multiple applications and multiple environments both. Then another one that we found is this notion of just automating your lifecycle steps. You see, each of these different assets, the patterns and the pattern instances themselves have their own lifecycle. Well, a lot of times what we've seen is that development teams just tend to go through all these lifecycle steps on their own. You know, they acquire an environment and they never want to give it up. Well, if you're not using a test environment, why do you need to have the resources be continuously allocated for an environment that no one's actually touching? Instead, if you could just take the life cycle of that entire environment and automate it so that it can actually automatically find out if anyone's using it, and if not, just kind of turn everything off and park it. Don't delete it yet, but, you know, just stop all your VMs and park it in storage. And then if no one reinstantiates it and, you know, starts it back up after, say, 2 months or so, just then go ahead and just delete the whole thing because you know that no one's going to need it anymore, okay, or at least archive it so that, you know, you have to go off to offsite storage to pull it back. That kind of automation, which you can easily put around Pure Application System through the REST interface that Pure App provides, and you can do this using tools like Smart Cloud Orchestrator or, you know, almost any scripting tool you want, makes it possible for you to be able to really get some significant advantages in the utilization of your machines that you're using with of your Pure App boxes. And it also allows you to spend less time having your operations team go back and do this kind of cleanup because you know that, you know, the automated scripts are going to catch this and they're going to get rid of these environments before you ever need to.
Thanks, Kyle. I'm sure IBM Pure Application System is going to make a big contribution to the world of DevOps. Don't forget that you can get a link to Kyle's article at ibm.com/developerworks/thisweek. That's all the time we have for this episode. We'll see you next week on DeveloperWorks.